The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I think turkey at least has some qualities, but I just don't want a lot of it.
Turkey has no taste.
It can.
The dark meat is good, and I do enjoy the day after Thanksgiving turkey sandwich, but you got to put probably too much salt on it to kind of give it any flavor. See,
someone at work ate my sandwich.
Well, what did the police say?
My Thanksgiving leftover sandwich. I can't believe someone just ate it.
Ross, it's just a sandwich.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
For me, as I put all the sides on, I do a whole big deal sandwich. Yeah, you put the potatoes on there. You put some
stuffing,
yams, cranberry sauce. I put it all on there.
It doesn't taste better the next day. That's one meal that really does.
Just a sandwich? Look, I am 30 years old, okay? I'm going to be divorced twice, and I just got evicted. That sandwich was the only good thing going on in my life. Someone ate the only good thing going on in my life.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Do you guys just constantly give each other a hard time? Scratch that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Does Chewy constantly just give you a hard time?
I think I give it back to him a decent amount. Like yesterday, him and like being upset about his routine, like it took him 10 minutes to find his phone that was in his hoodie pouch.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's not my fault, though.
Chewy's already jumping all over Gabe for his attire today. Jumping all over him. What is he making fun of you for now?
Well, so I've got a bright orange vest on today. So I didn't even hear him say it. Ashton had to tell me, he said, I don't know what he's talking about. He said, turn off the batteries. I'm like, oh, he's talking about my vest. It's too bright for him. Which shocked Ashton that I knew like what Chewy was talking about. All of Chewy's insults have been the same ever since he actually learned my name.
Since the moment you met
him. Yeah, so well, like for the last...
How long did it take from when he met you to when he knew your name?
Well, so I produced the Sunday morning football show when he did it with Craig when I first moved to Milwaukee. It was one of my first jobs when I was here in Milwaukee. Every Sunday, I did it for 6 months. And the last show I did, he did the thing where he goes, right? But this time he added a name. Like he was trying to make a point, and he goes, right, Zach? And Craig just like turns around and we're looking at each other. And Craig finally goes, who the hell is Zach? That's Gabe.
Yeah, but Gabe, I've been at this station as long, maybe longer than you. How many, and you can answer this question, how many producers have I gone through?
Ooh.
Probably 20.
I mean, it's a lot.
Probably 20.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So, you kind of look like a Zach. I'm not going to lie.
Who's your favorite producer?
Dan Dragon.
Yeah, I should have answered before he did. I knew his answer was going to be Dan Dragon.
Who's Dan Dragon?
He was a small little man who...
Jen, much how we started this show and how I like to push the envelope, well, I was a little too tough on him where his mother came to the studio after the show and wanted to talk to me. So I guess if Gabe's mother shows up and starts to yell at me, then I know I'm pushing it a little too
far. I think you're fine
on
that. I was at Gabe's wedding when his family members basically made a conga line over to Mark Chamora to get autographs and pictures.
And my mom still wants to meet you. Like, I still have to facilitate that. My mother still hasn't met you. She has not let me forget that I let my aunt get a picture with you, and I didn't introduce her to you. She has not let me forget that 5 months later.
I mean, my mom likes you better than she likes me, Chewy, so...
We'll invite her to Ashy Bash 2 next year.
All right, sweet.
But Jack, you're going to tell me when you do the National Game Day show on Saturdays, They're not, you guys aren't ripping on one another?
Oh, all the time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
100% every day.
Yeah.
But it's nothing but love, right? And again, that goes back to, Chewy, the locker room mentality of you build a rapport, you build chemistry, you know, you're in the foxhole together essentially for those 3 hours on Saturday mornings and you have each other's back. And I think that all, the ribbing and all that kind of builds up to that. It's what Rodgers is trying to do in the locker room when he makes the little remarks about guys or the eyebrow comments about Matt LaFleur. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all of that idea of, like, nothing but love, nothing but love. I will tell you this, though, guys. We have a text chain here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy where we exchange ideas and exchange little, you know, back and forths. And sometimes it's productive for the show and it's good content. And other times it's like crickets, you know? You guys always crickets me, man. I drop in some stuff and then it's like...
I mean, do we have to respond to everything?
Like what?
Like last week or whatever, where I sent a text message and it was like, I don't know. Hold on, let me think. I have to go back into the memory bank. You know what? It doesn't even matter what it was. It doesn't even matter what it was.
I think it matters what it was.
I believe it was when Jason Wilde talked about Sammy Watkins revealing the sign for changing the play. And I was like, holy bleep, did Sammy Watkins really go on the record and tell Jason Wilde what the signal was to change the play?
Wait, that was in the middle of the show, though.
Yes.
You could understand how we would miss that or forget about it.
Or ignore it.
I'm not going to say ignore it. I don't use my phone during the show.
Is there a texting etiquette where... you're okay not to respond? Or do you always have to respond with like a thumbs up or a smiley face? Because then it never ends. Because there's people that don't know how to end a text, right? There's no etiquette just by your response.
I look at our group text chain for our show as just more of a place to dump ideas. If somebody responds, they respond. I'm not going to be personally offended like Jennifer that somebody doesn't respond to me.
Very
but that's
offended.
Yeah, that's just kind of how I look. So, but in a one-on-one text, you like it depends. Like if your wife texts you, you have to acknowledge that you saw the text. Right? So either with the iPhone, you have to, you know, you double click on the message and give it the thumbs up there, or the thumbs up emoji. Like your wife, you have to acknowledge.
Or a K.
Okay.
Do you write
Jen,
okay?
Along your lines here, I texted you guys a coded message at about 10 o'clock last Saturday night. Do you remember getting the text?
Something about alias?
I remember.
Wait, 10 o'clock last night or
Saturday?
10 o'clock
night. Last Saturday.
I think it was Saturday or Friday.
Well, usually it's you with the takeoff gift.
But I sent you guys a word this time.
And we're not talking Quavo over here or Migos or any of that stuff.
I sent you guys a coded text and I got no response.
Yeah, because he sent it at 10 o'clock at night,
you guys still have the text.
Yeah, I still have it in there. Let's see where it is.
You guys never spelled it out. I mean, I was very creative here. It was a struggle, but I was very creative.
Oh, RMARHMED. Rammerhead. Rammerhead.
I thought you were telling us you were hammered.
Yes, that's what he was.
There you go.
So I said, your question. Why am I going to have a conversation with you if you're hammered?
Yeah. That was you drunkenly spelling out hammered like I wasn't going to respond to it.
What am I going to respond?
What
so
time was
too?
It?
10:29 p.m. 10:29. RMARHMED. Why are you impressed with yourself that you got all the letters in hammered all jumbled up?
Well, it took me like 14 minutes. Yeah. I'm like, did I spell this right? I have no idea. Oh, there's an H.
Yeah, the very first letter. So speaking of our text chain, last night Ashy drops in this little gem. He says, is having an itch the same thing as having pain? A little argument just happened on The Bachelor. This is built for our show.
Oh, yeah. So Bachelor in Paradise last night's getting real good, guys. The finale is coming up next week, getting real good. But anyway,
I'll take your word for it.
So Aaron,
how does one win Bachelor in Paradise?
I don't know.
You don't get gonorrhea.
Yeah, they got the boom boom room, so it's fine. So anyways, Aaron and Genevieve were arguing last night. They argue all the time. It's their thing, but they love each other. It's fine. So Aaron and Genevieve, they're arguing last night. All of a sudden, it turns to... is being angry the same as being upset or something dumb? And then Aaron goes, well, it's like saying a pain and an itch are two different things. And then everything blew up.
A pain and an itch are two different things.
That was Genevieve's point.
An itch is a very specific sort of like irritant on the skin.
Right. So say itch, is that a pain?
But I think there's good itches. There's good itches.
But is it pain?
There's
right?
good pain.
There's good itches. Like teeth pain, I love. I don't know. That's weird. I just like it.
Yeah, you're the only person in the history of the world. Right. So you and your dentist are like buddy-buddy?
I was about to say, like, I get tooth pain. I go, bleep, I have to go to the dentist now. And you're just over there just getting your jollies off?
When can I see ya?
But I mean, some itches are good, right? I don't know about for girls, but for guys, they can be pretty good.
No, I think the only time an itch is a pain is if it's in your nether area, if it's in your...
But then the itch...
No, that's good.
That's painful. Itch. Is that what a bad itch
is? Itch is more discomfort than pain, though. Yeah. It's pain, discomfort.
Hold on.
Again, if it's in the right place, it's a pain.
The worst itch that a human could have is on the inside of their ear.
No.
What are you talking about?
Like,
the worst pain is an itch in the middle of your back. Same reason, because you can't get to it.
And you just find the nearest tree and start rubbing up against it like your Baloo. Yeah, that's not good for anybody.
Look for the bare necessities.
Like, you guys, when you have an ear itch, don't you sit there and go, try to get rid of it, and you can never get rid of it. Am I the only one?
He's 100% right.
You're
hit the button. Hit the button.
Chewy was right.
It's an audio medium.
Chewy was right.
You're over there going.
Now that's a bad itch when you're doing. When you got an itch. Or the old arch cramp. Woo, baruba.
But I thought that was good pain. I thought that was the good pain.
It's kind of a pleasure pain, but it can take over.
You get the old Charlie horse.
Hold on. Ashy is extremely uncomfortable right now.
I mean, again.
He had to know it was going to go this route.
Nope, sure didn't. I don't know anything ever, which is part of my charm. The thing is, Chewy, I can guess what you're going to do, but I never actually know what you're going to do. And I guess the earwax noises is not something I thought was on the table this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's very true.
You're right, though. The thing where you have to, like, pinch your nose and, like, make the sound. I'm going to make the sound. I was not going to make the sound because it's not pleasant to the ear. But you basically grab your nose and you're like.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? To try to get the itch in the back of the throat. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's when my kids look over at me and go, everything okay, Mom? Everything okay? Yeah, I just got an itch in the back. I can't reach it. And thought maybe if I could just, like, vibrate it very very fast and frequently, maybe we would get it. Is an itch the same thing as a pain? I think an itch is its own category of discomfort, but I don't think it falls under the pain silo.
I think it's almost, and maybe you can say this, Chu, as a former football player, and Jen, as a former athlete who's had a lot of injuries, it's like almost easier to ignore pain than it is to ignore the itch. Like, oh, I can play through this rolled ankle, I'll be fine. But the itch just like, because you're sitting there, and now I'm thinking about it, and now I'm thinking, okay, I got to itch it. You know, like, I think it's easier to ignore pain than it is to ignore the itch. The itch is much more annoying.
Something about, like, surface level, something about it being on your skin and, like, the little hairs on your skin that kind of just are, like, tingling there. Maybe that's it. Ashley, where do you land on this, the itch and the pain? This is your idea. You did this.
Yeah, I did this. Well, here's the thing. I 100% agree with Genevieve, who was saying that it two different things. An itch is not a pain. I don't understand that argument at all. And Aaron, he's like, oh, just look it up. I looked it up. I don't think that's anything at all. I don't know what he's talking about. An itch and pain are two totally different things. Pain hurts. All itches are just annoying.
We'll go in another direction. What about a zanger?
I know
people that love popping zangers.
Anyone?
The zit.
You call a zit a zanger? It's like, first of all, it's like the Alaskan people for snow. I have heard a million different words for a pimple. I have literally never heard zanger before. Where did that even come from?
Well, I had a brother.
They both start with Z.
My brother loved to pop them. Because you get those in the middle of your back when you're 20.
You ever had a ziffle? Like, you can't just throw out Z words and expect me to know what you're talking about.
I hate
that. Come on, we all love popping them, right?
I hate that I know him
so well. We all love popping them.
I mean, I think there's a certain satisfaction that everyone gets out of popping one every once in a while, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's weird, but I agree.
I think it has to be a very specific pimple in order to have a successful pop.
Yeah,
Like, if it's still underneath, right? Like, I got one on my chin right now that I knew, and I said this to Dario the other day. I said, here's the issue. I don't wear makeup any day of the week except for when I'm on television, and that's Fridays and Saturdays. And then you end up wearing heavy TV makeup, and then, like, you know, whatever. We went out to dinner, so I don't end up washing my face until, like, 8 o'clock, and my makeup gets on at noon. So we're talking about 8 straight hours of makeup. Now I've got a pimple that's developing. I spend the rest of the week trying to get rid of the pimples that developed from the makeup I wore on Fridays and Saturdays. So I got one right now here on my chin that has been underneath, man. It has been buried. It has not wanted to show its ugly face yet. I can't pop that. I just got to live with it. Well, you just got to sit with it.
Aren't you supposed to not pop them? But that's part of the satisfaction of popping them. And I got to imagine with you being on television, like, you try to avoid popping them.
Oh, why? Because you're a rebel if you do? What do you mean the satisfaction is? I'm not supposed to, but I'm
going
to.
Well, because it's supposed to, yeah, it's supposed to, you know, like, leave a mark or whatever. So you're not supposed to pop your pimples.
Yeah, but we don't have good ones the older we get. I mean, the ones where you paint the mirror that are on your shoulder at, like, 21 or something like that, those are good ones.
What kind of steroids were you taking in college?
That is maybe the grossest thing that's ever been said on this show, and we've said a lot of gross stuff on this show, Chewy, so way to go, buddy. I mean, I'm proud of you. That was disgusting. I hate you. That was awful.
Paint the mirror.
Yeah, but we all know exactly what I'm talking about.
I've never gotten shoulder pimples. I've never gotten back pimples. I'm pretty lucky in the fact that it's mostly just the old T-zone. Mostly just the old forehead and the chin and nose. That's it. What other words? Zanger? Okay, pimple?
I can't
zit.
Even focus anymore after that just happened.
This is your fault.
I know this is my fault. We're going to have a nice grown-up discussion about pain versus itching, and I thought I was going to talk about Genevieve and Aaron's love, but no.
Grown-up discussion?
That's on me. Like, I, you know, hand up. That's on me. I get it, but, you know, my bad, guys. Thanks, Chewy.
800-990-3776. That's our Old National Bank talk and text line. Old National Bank, get old.
Can we put that on the poll? Have you ever painted the mirror with a shoulder zit?
Zanger. You got to say Zanger, though, because otherwise it doesn't tie in. I also think it's worth asking if anybody has ever heard the phrase Zanger before in reference to a pimple. That is the first time for me. I'm 41 years old. Never heard it. I do have a 13-year-old son. I think they have different words for him, by the way, now. The whole nother evolution of the words that they are using for the acne and the pimples and whatnot.
When you're a mom in that situation, do you try to adapt to their vernacular and try to use it back to them? Or does that just feel too forced?
Just depends on the situation. There are times where, yeah, you try
But you know, but I imagine you, if you use it in that certain situation you're talking about, you're doing it to more embarrass yourself.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. To mock a little bit. Yeah, because otherwise you come across as that Steve Buscemi scene.
Yeah.
What is
Hello,
like?
Fellow kids.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah. But they have a whole different language about dating now. Jen, I don't know if you're there yet with Chase, but it's
confusing.
It's like we're hanging out, or and that's code for making out.
Talking.
And it's just, yeah, talking.
Chase said cuddling to me the other day. I was like, what's going on? What's happening here? And he's like, oh, we're just cuddling. I'm sorry, what? And it's basically just where they, like, tie their limbs into knots, essentially, while they watch
a movie. Oh, they're playing
Twister. Yeah. So, yeah, it gets very complicated. Have you ever heard the phrase zanger before? Have you ever heard the phrase zanger? And also, is an itch the same as pain? Apparently prompted by a fascinating conversation on one of Ashton's trashy television shows last night. We got, not Jason Wilde today. More to get to here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What about FDR?
His name was
Fred? President.
Was he really?
His name was Franklin.
That's not Fred.
That's not Fred.
What the hell game are you playing about?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Check, check, 1, 2. Check, check, 1, 2. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee. The Packers popped their proverbial pimple when they cut Amari Rodgers yesterday. That had been a pimple on the, let's just say face. Pimple on the butt is what my dad used to say about something that was just like, you know, a pimple on the, you know.
You can say that.
All right. Well, I think you got the point. I don't know if I need to.
Of all the times that you choose to censor yourself, you censor yourself on one you can actually say?
I'm very confused about what's allowed and what isn't allowed.
I'll let you know. Don't worry.
Yeah, but usually it's after the fact.
That's the fun part.
Packers cut Amari Rodgers and Kylan Hill yesterday. Gabe has been clamoring for this, beating the drum, banging on it, saying it needed to happen.
Yeah, needed to happen a while ago.
Why did it happen yesterday?
I think the tweet that was making its rounds, 8 career catches and 7 career fumbles for Amari Rodgers. Look, it's a production-based league. Like, they finally came to their senses and took away the punt returns from him. They already weren't playing him in offense. He was only playing out of desperate need for bodies at that position because they're so banged up there. So that's why he got the 6 or 7 snaps, whatever it was on Sunday. They took kickoffs away from him weeks ago. So all he was doing was returning punts. And if you can't return punts, those roster spots are gold. You need somebody that could potentially contribute. And if you're not going to be contributing, see you later.
But by all accounts, Chu, it sounds like he's a pretty good dude. It sounds like they liked him. He was putting the work in. It just wasn't showing up on the field. Counter that to, apparently, what we are learning about Kylan Hill, where it seems like Matt LaFleur just could not, I don't know, make it seem nice. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who spoke about Kylan Hill yesterday, Ashy.
You know, being a member of the Green Bay Packers, it's a privilege. And there are standards and expectations that are placed on every member of this team that we expect guys to live up to. And, you know, I appreciate what Kylan's been through. And I know it hasn't been easy coming back from that knee injury that he suffered a year ago. That was a pretty devastating hit. And he's a guy that we had some high expectations for. And I realize that he is in a loaded room. But regardless of your role, no matter how big or how small, we expect guys to come to work and, you know, just be supportive and own that role to the best of their ability. And when you don't do that, this is what happens.
That smells to me of late to meetings on his own program. Problems in the running back meeting rooms. That's not good. The problem here is, and I thought he was a decent player. I mean, I thought his upside was obviously bigger than Amari Rodgers. But the problem is this. I mean, if Aaron Jones doesn't come back next year because he doesn't want to take a pay cut or restructure because his cap number gave us $20 million next year, which he can't play under, you got to start finding a replacement, you know? And I thought possibly he could have been it, but, I mean, your production on the field sometimes is outweighed by the way you handle yourself inside the building, and to me he sounded like it was time to go.
Well, and I'm sure that this comes down to, and again, don't have any inside information, this is just me like reading the tea leaves of what goes on. You know, injuries, as everybody knows, are very frustrating. You know, and sometimes you can find yourself in that like down spiral of despair and frustration and anger. And like, you know, oftentimes as it is when you deal with something, the people closest to you, the people you interact with the most, they kind of get the deluge, if you will. And I can't help but wonder if some of his frustration from dealing with the injury and working his way back. And, you know, again, Chu, you know, having been in these locker rooms, man, these guys work their tails off from the time they're young kids starting out in peewee to get to the league. And then you get an opportunity in the league and you have something like the knee injury happen. And it's like it takes a very special breed of person to be able to handle that type of adversity and bounce back from it. And not everybody can. You know, you can do all the physical stuff, honestly, to get back from an injury like that. But you also got to work through the, like I just said, the frustration and the stuff that creeps in and then the projecting onto others, right?
Yeah, but let me ask you this. As outsiders, do you think the chemistry in the locker room is a real thing? Even if you're winning.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because I look at someone like Wayne Simmons, who on the field was an intimidating player, very good. But, man, that guy was nuts. And he was a problem in the locker room, you know. But if the play on the field outweighs the way you handle yourself inside the building, sometimes they're willing to give a pat. I mean,
so
this is a guy. It was great, But the fight between Reggie and Wayne Simmonds was maybe one of the greatest things I've seen in a while. It was epic. I mean, it was. It's like you're on the movie set. You know, you're not just watching the movie on a big screen. You are literally on set, and it was like, no, keep going. Keep going.
So what is your point about chemistry, though?
I have no idea.
Well, so let me ask you this, Chu. So with Wayne, because I mean, Wayne was a really good player, and I think if Wayne's on the Super Bowl 32 team along with Sean Jones, you guys end up winning that game. But
I agree.
But did Wayne have the trust of his teammates on the field? Like, everybody knew he was crazy and a problem in the locker room, but once you got on the field, did they trust him?
Wayne kind of did his own things at times, but he was such an intimidator, you know? And I had to battle against Wayne in practice every day. And early in his career, you know, Wayne tried being Wayne, and I'm like, Wayne, do not try that stuff with me because it is not going to end well, you know? And then me and him had this respect for one another, you know? We still went balls to the walls and went at one another, but don't be pushing me after the whistle. Don't be doing the cheap stuff because it's not going to end well for you.
So, Gabe, let me ask you this.
Most guys...
What are the options now for the returner position? Because it feels like that's where they need to find somebody the most. Is it just Keyshawn Nixon?
Yeah, it's Keyshawn Nixon. I mean, they seem to be okay with that. I'm okay with that. Like, Keyshawn Nixon seems to have an explosiveness during the kick returns. It wasn't probably the best decision to take that ball at the six-yard line, but he still caught it, returned it for 5 yards. It seems like there's something there with Keyshawn being the main returner.
There was a lot of information that came out about this yesterday, but I think the one that I liked the most was that Samari Torre said that Amari Rodgers sent all of the guys voice messages basically saying he's going to be all right. It was a pleasure to play with us. By all accounts, Amari Rodgers is a pretty good dude. It's just unfortunate that he wasn't able to produce on the field, and now we'll be looking for a job in the NFL. Have you guys tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. I've got a Celsius right here. You know the flavor. It's a peach vibe, and it is going to get me through the day. There are 15 different flavors to choose from. If peach vibe isn't your vibe, there's an Arctic vibe. There's a Fuji apple pear. I don't have enough time to go through all of the different flavors, but just know this. When I hit the air every Saturday morning for college football coverage, I have already had a Celsius, and I know it is going to keep me going throughout the show, throughout my flight, when I get home, hanging out with my kids, all the way through the evening games on television. Celsius is the essential energy drink that I choose to keep me on top of my game. And you can find Celsius at your local pick and save stores or online at Amazon.com. Celsius energy drink, live fit. Adam Schefter joining the show right after this.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, some more
Adam,
yeah,
you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
He fired Frank Reich today. He hired Jeff Saturday. Jim Irsay doesn't care what you think.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference.
The guy with the real blue check mark, Adam Schefter, not faux Adam Schefter, Adam Schefter. No, it is the actual, the real, the authentic Adam Schefter. We knew that was going to happen, man. You knew that some kid was going to go out, pretend to be you, buy a blue check mark, and just send the NFL into a frenzy, didn't you?
Well, good morning, Jen, Gabe, Mark, yes. And there are many blue mark check marked Adam Schefters out there. I can only control what I can control, and we've had that going on. One of them fired Josh McDaniels last week, not me. Who knows what else others will do, but this is the kind of thing you deal with, and it's just the way of the world. I don't know what to say about it. Right?
Feels slightly problematic. Who could have seen that coming? I got a question for you, Adam. Aaron Rodgers goes on the Fox broadcast the other night after they win that game against the Cowboys, his former coach, Mike McCarthy, and he says, quote, "We're not dead yet." Are the Packers dead? Yeah.
Well, Jen, let me say this. First of all, it's great to be with you, and I'm not surprised that your very first question to me, now that you've rejoined us after your travels last week, is in regards to Aaron Rodgers. So that's very good.
Well, I love him so much. He's my favorite person. You know this. I love him. He's great.
You know, no, they're not dead yet. They're not going to win the division. That's not going to happen. The question is, can they make a wild card push? And I think they can. It's going to be tough and challenging. If you just look at it, I think Philadelphia, Dallas, the Giants. I mean, what? Boy, the NFC East is loaded, right? The West has Seattle and San Francisco. So somehow Green Bay is going to have to find a way to beat out two or three of those teams. And I don't know that they can do that. I just think it's going to be tough. They have what the record right now is what?
4-6.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So I would think that they're going to have to go down the stretch at the very least, 5-2, probably 6-1.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I think they could do 5-2. I think they could do that. 6-1 seems a little bit ambitious, but you never know. You get rolling late in the season, things start working, clicking. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a chance. But, I don't like their chances, but there's a chance. Yeah.
But Adam, eight losses will not get you the wild card, will it?
I don't think it will.
Yeah. Okay. Because someone would have to seriously implode, being Dallas or even Washington, because Washington has the tiebreaker against them, so they would have to essentially win one more game. Then so yeah. Well, we're going to stick with Aaron Rodgers because there was so much excitement there. Mm-hmm. The million-dollar question is, if this thing implodes, Shefty, the question is, does he come back? Does he retire? Does he want a trade? Gabe's contention is, because he's making $59 million next year, or that's his cap number, he's got to come back. But, I mean, if you look at Brady, Brady's going from whatever he's making, if he retires, to $37
million. Mm-hmm.
Are networks clamoring over Aaron Rodgers to be an analyst, or is it too early? They don't think he's going to retire. Where is that at?
Well, and the other thing, would Aaron Rodgers want to be an analyst? Is that something he wants to do when he's done playing football? I don't know that. Maybe you've heard that.
But, I mean, for $37 million, I would take my shirt off on national television with a bunch of gold chains you know, I'm game.
I would take it off for less than $37 million. I mean, if somebody wants to pay me $37 million, I would do that, too. I'll do it again. In fact, I would have done it in 38-degree Philadelphia for $37 million. Yeah.
Adam Schefter,
I wanted to ask you last week, though. Did you do push-ups before the camera went on you? Because I would have.
You know, it's funny you say that. My wife and I had dinner with another couple, and the woman was at it. She's like, you lifted. I'm like, I did zero. Like, I did. Not only did I not do anything before, but I didn't. The thought never crossed my mind to do something before. Now that you and she both have said or asked that, I absolutely should have been doing push-ups before. I should have been pumping weights before and trying to not embarrass myself in the way that I did. But I didn't do any of that. No, and I never even thought of doing anything like that.
All right. Well, file it away for next time, because I'm sure there's going to be a next time you take off your shirt on national television.
Hopefully not for all of our sakes.
Adam, I want to go back to the Packers and Brian Gutekunst. What's the perception of him? Because with the release yesterday of Amari Rodgers, under his leadership, they have not had now a third-round pick get a second contract for them. And that just seems so important when you have guys like Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, Jair Alexander under contract. You have to hit on those draft picks, and he just hasn't in the middle part of the draft.
But, and this is not to defend him, but that goes on across the league. We just saw last week the Chargers released Jerry Tillery, a former first-round pick, and there were eight teams that put in waiver claims for him. Now, why they didn't trade him before the deadline for a seventh-round pick or something like that is a different question. But here's the thing that I think a lot of people sometimes lose sight of is that the drafting records of front offices, general managers across the league, the hit percentage – It's less than 50%. Like, most of the picks are misses. What you're hoping to do are have a couple of draft classes, like the one, say, that Seattle had with John Schneider this year, where they hit on Charles Cross in the first round and Kenneth Walker in the second round and Tariq Willen and some of the guys that they did, where you have one of these foundational draft classes to build your franchise around, or you're hoping to hit on a single draft pick at a certain spot that elevates the performance of everybody. There are teams and GMs that miss on all kinds of picks. That's not unusual. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They took Jalen Reagor in round one ahead of Justin Jefferson, and they were the last unbeaten team in the league. You can overcome those things. The question is more from a larger body of work and what is the full and entire draft record, free agent record, everything. And if you're winning, nobody cares that you released Amari Rodgers. Nobody cares. But when you're in the spot that they are, 4-6, then people want answers and accountability.
Adam Schefter joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as he will every single week during the NFL season here on ESPN Milwaukee. All right, I want to do a big picture NFL question for you here, Adam.
Yeah.
I saw that Aaron Patrick is suing the league. Hurt his ACL, the whole sideline thing. And anytime there's a lawsuit, obviously, that can have big ripple effects. That always seems to incite change a little bit. Do you see this as being sort of a flashpoint, if you will, for all of a sudden them being much more conscious about who's on the sideline, the way that the sideline is set up and whatnot? I mean, do you think that this thing has a legit chance of going anywhere? And do you think that there are ramifications because of it?
Well, I think that anytime something like this happens, there's natural fallout, but it's not the first time that we've seen a player run out of bounds, slip and fall, and hurt himself. Reggie Bush, same thing happened. Reggie Bush sued, I don't know where it was, Ford Field or wherever it happened.
Yeah, I think it was the Rams, maybe?
Oh, yeah, well, it was in St. Louis. You're right. It was in St. Louis. And this was in SoFi Stadium where he had the incident on Monday Night Football this year. I think ESPN is a part of the lawsuit. They're suing everybody. I'm sure that there'll be memos that go out this week. To make sure that there are no tarps on the side. Like ESPN, I think, was using it. There's very little I know about it, but to cover the wires. How they do this going forward, Jen, we'll see. But I can't imagine that all of a sudden this player files the lawsuit, the league just ignores it and doesn't react at all. That's just not
right. I feel like many years ago, there was this like concerted effort to get fewer people on the sidelines. You know, they handled all these passes for VIPs and whatnot. And obviously, they're supposed to disperse as the games go on, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes you got people who are hanging around.
You know what? But listen, as somebody who's on the field Monday Night Football, I could tell you that in pregame warmups, the sidelines are packed, and then like literally 10, 15 minutes before the game, you can see how that crowd completely dissipates and is reduced dramatically, so much so that even when the game begins, a lot of times they're shooing us off the field. They want us off the field, and we're some of the last people on the field other than the team personnel.
Shefty, as a Michigan grad, can there be two teams from the Big Ten in the Final Four, even if, say, one of them, well, obviously one of them is going to lose when Michigan plays Ohio State. Yeah. Can there still be one of the two Big Ten teams?
You know, here's what I would say about that. I heard somebody say that Michigan's schedule hasn't been tough enough, and that very well may be true. But if Michigan and Ohio State stage one of these classic games where they're just trading blows and going back and forth, and it's one of these tight games, could it be that both make it? Yes. But if one of them wins the game and wins it in decisive fashion, I don't think both are making it. Now, again, there's still a lot of college football season left. We'll see how it plays out. I think, obviously, the winner will go. And the loser, I would just say, if they're going blow to blow with that other team, whoever that is that day, I think they got a chance. If it's not a close game, no.
Okay.
What do you think?
I would agree. with you just because, I mean, you're looking at LSU. LSU has two losses. Obviously, Alabama has two. I would take, yes, I would take either team if, it, like you said, if it was a close game into the Final Four. Just don't have them play one another.
You know, I mean, but it has to be one of those real close games. You know, like, oh, my, you know, neither team deserve to lose. One of those games, right? If it, if one of the teams is winning 27-17, no.
Yeah, then
that's,
Shefty, how schedule-oriented and regimented are you? Because our guy Chewy here, he is very, he has to have his routine. It has to go right. So yesterday he was a little flustered because he couldn't find his phone at his house. Turns out it was in the pouch of his hoodie, but he spent like 10 minutes around his house looking for it.
So No. Don't just drive by that. Don't just breeze by that. Shefty, the phone was in the pocket of his hoodie. Okay? I want full process here to take place before we move on to the whole rest of the story, okay? All right, go ahead.
Well, I've never lost my phone in the pocket of my hoodie. I've never done that. I can't think of too many times I have lost my phone. I can't think of too many times I've been without my phone, to be perfectly frank. And in terms of process and schedule, you know, you live a rather disciplined, regimented life. Like, I just think in football season, you could say to me, Friday, 11:30, where are you? And I could tell you to a minute, at almost any minute during football season, on any day at any time where I would be. During the off season, it's obviously more unpredictable. Things happen. There's moves at all times, all days, all months. Like, you just never know. But there's such a structure to in season for anybody who is involved in the sport in any way, whether you're playing it, coaching it, front office, public relations, community. Like, there's just a structure and a routine. I'll bet you Jen is the same way, basically. Now, her schedule differs with the travel that she does, but she knows that Saturday morning at 9 a.m., she knows that she's going to be somewhere on the set of game day, right? Like, just that's just how it is, right, Jen? If I said to you, and you'll sometimes travel through pieces, but if I said to you Tuesday, 4 p.m., you probably wouldn't know where you are in season, right?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah. Now, the days switch a little bit, right? Like, sometimes I travel on Monday for a feature, sometimes I travel on Tuesday, but it's mostly the same type of schedule. The days just change depending on team availability.
Right. And mine doesn't, because I don't have to worry about that element of it. Like, Monday, I'm going to be in the city of Monday Night Football. Tuesday morning, I'll be hustling back. I'll be taking my podcast, picking my daughter at school. Wednesday, on with you. Wednesday, I have to do NFL Live, 6 o'clock SportsCenter. Thursday, the same kind of thing. Friday, I'm gearing up for Sunday, you know, making a bunch of calls to a bunch of people. I'm doing that all week anyway. Saturday, I'm double-checking, triple-checking, checking on more things. Sunday, I'm leaving my house at 7 a.m. to go into the city. I'm getting up about 5:30. Like, it's just, there's a certain rhythm and routine in season that is really the same for 20-plus straight weeks.
Shefty and Santa Claus checking their list, making their list, checking it twice. Sorry, Chew.
What do you do to get away from it all? I mean, do you play hoops? Do you play pickleball? Do you read? I mean, sounds
like, you know, the last time I played basketball, it's funny you say that. The last time I played basketball was back when I lived in Denver, and a group of us would play from the newspaper, the Rocky Mountaineers, on Tuesday nights at this elementary school, and I got an elbow in my right eye, right beneath my eyebrow, and I got like 8 stitches, and I had to go on TV the next day and do some TV work. And I said, what am I doing? That was like the last time I ever played basketball. So my basketball career ended at the age of 28 or so, with stitches in my eye. For release, what do? Honestly, I love playing fantasy basketball. That's a vice of mine. It's kind of like my outlet. I don't
so
have...
You're just a sports nerd.
Well, I'm going to go on a Peloton ride as soon as I hang out with you guys, kind of get a little ride in, a little workout in.
Well, who's your go-to? I want to know who your go-to instructor is for Peloton.
Well, it changes all the time, right? Like, at one point, I loved Alex Toussaint. I still love Alex Toussaint, right? At another time, then I moved on to Ben Aldis. I've been into Jen Sherman lately. You know,
she's
just like,
great. And she's got kids over at Madison, from what I gather from some of her rides.
She does. She does. Yep. And so she does a great job. You know, the biggest thing that I'm looking for always is 45-minute classes, and there seems to be a decrease and the frequency with which those are taught, it's more and more 20 and 30 minutes. I like the 45-minute ones.
Adam, the last thing I have for you, and I know we have to let you go, but I have been fascinated. I have been loving watching Taylor Heinicke play quarterback, and I saw people have been calling him Baby Favre, Little Favre or something like that, maybe just because of like the kind of reckless abandon he sometimes plays with. He's a little bit of a scrambler out there, a little backyard football. What should the Commanders do at quarterback?
Well, Baby Favre and reckless abandon, that would make sense.
If you weren't saying it, I was.
Jen phrased that very well. I didn't say it. Jen said it, you know, and she was right. So, listen, you ride with that guy. And the funny thing is that I thought the guy was a gamer last year, and like they felt like they had to upgrade the position. And so they looked for somebody that could throw a better deep ball and have a prettier pass and was more of the quarterback prototype, like Carson Wentz, 6'3", 6'4", 220, rather than this little guy who runs around and make things happen. Hey, Taylor Heinicke is all of us, right? We love watching somebody like that get everything they can out of their abilities. And if you're winning football games with that guy, why would you go away from that guy? I don't see how you would. Not my team, not my decision, but to me it's rather simple. Until that guy's not winning on a consistent basis, which hasn't been the case, I'm riding with him as quarterback. He's not as reckless as Babe. As other, you know, I was going to use a Favre comparison, but I'm getting into a spot I probably should.
We tend to do that here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah,
we make people say things that they wish they hadn't said. But thank you. I appreciate that. You know, obviously, it hits a little close to home here as Heinicke and the Commanders upset Aaron Rodgers' Packers a few weeks ago. Yep. But I think he's easy to root for. You know, it's the whole underdog mentality of like, you know, you give him a shot and he's running with it, which we appreciate, I think, when you're watching sports. All right. He is Adam Schefter. He joins Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each Wednesday during the football season. Adam, we appreciate you. Enjoy that Peloton ride.
I'm going to go do that right now. Thanks for having me. We'll talk next week. And until then, have a great week.
Always good stuff from Adam Schefter. We appreciate
Could
him joining
you
the show.
Have had a more rich person conversation.
The Peloton.
Then who's your favorite Peloton instructor?
So bougie. So bougie.
Like, I'm surprised your pinky wasn't in the air while having these conversations.
Whoa, Chewy, you got a bike. You got a bike over there. You could have weighed
it's
in
like
on
a Kmart
the old
bike. That's different.
Could have weighed in on
I'm
the
not
old
allowed
Peloton.
I'm not allowed. No, she has the Smell-a-ton. She's a bargain shopper. But she did skirt the system, so I don't know how. I just don't ask questions. But Gabe, someone said, I forget who, that Heinicke was going to be a hell of a player. We can talk about that after the break.
I think you're confusing him with the I'll find the guy you're confusing him with that you called the next Tom Brady, because it wasn't Heinicke. Palermo's, it's Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Palermo's has been making great-tasting frozen pizza, including Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian, locally for over 55 years. The great thing about Palermo's is, yeah, they have all these great brands, yet they're always trying to find different ways to make them better. For example, Screamin' Sicilian now has a stuffed crust pizza, 2.5 feet of cheese right in the crust. They have Neighborhood Pizzeria to give you that nostalgic feeling of the old pizzeria in the neighborhood where you grew up. That's my favorite pizza that they make. The Neighborhood Pizzeria, the crust, the everything. It just works perfectly. Or maybe, again, Urban Pie. You want something more artisanal where you get the sweet potato crust. You have the different options that they have with Urban Pie. And of course, because they've been doing this for 55 years, they know what they're doing. And all these pizza brands and all the pizza flavors are tremendous. Breakfast pizza, lunch pizza, dessert pizza. They have it all. Find Palermo's Pizza in the freezer section of your local grocery store. Palermo's. It's Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Now I don't know if I know anything. I'm going to be real honest here. And I don't think that a lot of us Packers people who have been following the team now for the last year trying to figure out the salary cap, we don't know anything.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Let me ask you a question. Does itch have a negative connotation? Like if you say, I have an itch, and you start scratching your head like me right now, like a dog with their hand behind their ear.
Audio
does that
medium.
Make you, can you not hear that?
Yeah, she was trying to get it to
right
sound.
Up against the microphone. Does it make you think of like lice or like dirty or unkempt? Like,
no, I just think that itch is just a negative thing. Like, you're scratching the itch to relieve the itch. So, like, you don't want to have an itch. So, like, an itch itself, no, I don't want to be itchy.
But if someone, okay, but there's definitely a threshold, though, right, Chu? Like, I start scratching, and you're like, ah, she just has an itch. I keep scratching, and you're like, what's up with that, right? Like, all of a sudden, you start thinking, like, something's up.
Oh, man, she has chicken pox. I got to move away.
Go sit in the pool for a while.
What?
Come on, it was from a movie.
What movie?
From Porky's.
Oh, jeez, good grief. Like,
don't you remember Porky's when they had crabs? They thought they went and sat in the pool.
Here it is. There you go.
Well, you can't say that on the...
Oh, yeah, you definitely can. And other shellfish, lobster, and, other crustaceans and stuff.
Just because we've made two STD jokes in the same hour doesn't mean we're going to get in trouble, Jen.
Is that worse than Chewy talking about the zit?
Eh.
By the way, Chewy, the quarterback...
Well, no, I'm not even going to...
Are you censoring yourself? Write it down, ladies and gentlemen. Chewy backed away from the microphone when tempted to say something inappropriate.
By the way, pal, Kyle Allen was the quarterback you thought was going to be really good.
I don't think so. I think it was Heine. It was Heineke.
You call him Heine. You just learned his name 5 minutes ago.
You called Kyle Allen in 2019... Amazing. Potentially the next Tom Brady.
What? Hey, remember when you were telling us about that text? R-A-M-H-R-E.
Yeah. Rammered.
How rammered were you when you told us that about Kyle Allen? Poor guy's had a knee injury, though. So that has affected his trajectory.
Yes, that's the reason
he's
not the next Tom Brady.
Hey, I'm trying to help the big guy out here a little, all right? Throw him a bone. More Jen Gabe and Chewy right after this.